Lord's Prayer, Sovereignty. The Lord's Prayer is a statement recognizing the one and only supreme commander, which is God. Not a man, not a country, not a military of a country, not a government of a country. It recognizes the one and only God of all existence. If we desire to support the messages in the Lord's Prayer, we must do it wholeheartedly with every provision in the prayer. And we must live that theme with every breath we take. The U.S., for many decades, has been in the habit of controlling other countries around the world. Mary Baker Eddy was very clear on what our military should be doing. And it was only to defend the continent on which we live. And it's stated in the Monroe Doctrine. We don't go to foreign continents and try to capture them and make them a slave of our country. Nor do we try to make a regime change so that the new regime that is installed by force by America is to be living under a set of conditions which are not in accordance with the desires of the citizens of that country. We should not even be occupying any piece of land, including enough for a military base. But we should keep our nose out of other people's business. Our business is only the continent where we live, and we should only be enacted in military warfare if another country attacks the continent on which we live. If we desire peace, we must be an example of principle which does not create chaos. Principle is defined as structure and system where everything is in balance and harmonious. Our starting point in demonstrating divine principle is within our own consciousness. Are we trying to get something for nothing? That is probably the most popular reason for going to war. That certainly is not the golden rule. I shall read what Mary Baker Eddy says about the Lord's Prayer, beginning with the introduction, which is on page 14 at the bottom. And it includes quotes from the Bible. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Spiritual sanctuary. So spake Jesus. The closet typifies the sanctuary of spirit, the door of which shuts out sinful sense, but lets in truth, life, and love. Closed to error, it is open to truth, and vice versa. The Father in secret is unseen to the physical senses, but he knows all things and rewards according to motives, not according to speech. To enter into the heart of prayer, the door of the erring senses must be closed. Lips must be mute and materialism silent, that man may have audience with spirit, the divine principle, love, which destroys all error. Effectual invocation. In order to pray aright, we must enter into the closet and shut the door. We must close the lips and silence the material senses. In the quiet sanctuary of earnest longings, we must deny sin and plead God's allness. We must resolve to take up the cross and go forth with honest hearts to work and watch for wisdom, truth, and love. We must pray without ceasing. Such prayer is answered insofar as we put our desires into practice. The Master's injunction is that we pray in secret and let our lives attest our sincerity. Trustworthy beneficence. Christians rejoice in secret beauty and bounty, hidden from the world, but known to God. Self-forgetfulness, purity, and affection are constant prayers. Practice, not profession, understanding, not belief, gain the ear and right hand of omnipotence, and they assuredly call down infinite blessings. Trustworthiness is the foundation of enlightened faith. Without a fitness for holiness, we cannot receive holiness. Loftiest adoration. A great sacrifice of material things must precede this advanced spiritual understanding. The highest prayer is not one of faith merely. It is demonstration. Such prayer heals sickness and must destroy sin and death. It distinguishes between truth that is sinless and the falsity of sinful sense. The prayer of Jesus Christ. Our Master taught his disciples one brief prayer, which we name after him the Lord's Prayer. Our Master said, "After this manner, therefore pray ye." And then he gave that prayer which covers all human needs. There is indeed some doubt among Bible scholars whether the last line is not an addition to the prayer by a later copyist, but this does not affect the meaning of the prayer itself. In the phrase, "Deliver us from evil," The original properly reads, "Deliver us from the evil one." This reading strengthens our scientific apprehension of the petition, for Christian Science teaches us that the evil one, or one evil, is but another name for the first lie and all liars. Only as we rise above all material sensuousness and sin can we reach the heaven-born aspiration and spiritual consciousness which is indicated in the Lord's Prayer, and which instantaneously heals the sick. Here, let me give what I understand to be the spiritual sense of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, Mother God, all harmonious. Hallowed be thy name, adorable one. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And love is reflected in love. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Amen. Let's take a look at each phrase that is in this prayer. The first one says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious." This clearly identifies who we are addressing or recognizing as our Father and Mother. We could think of Father as giving life and Mother as nurturing all the qualities of that newly discovered life. And then it tells us just what we should be thinking of our Father, Mother, God. It says, "Hallowed be thy name, adorable one." It doesn't sound like that is giving recognition to God being inferior to something else, but superior to everything. Well, how about the Word of God? Where is it? The next sentence answers that. It says, "Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present." The omnipresence of God is within our own consciousness, and nothing can take its place. How about who's controlling it? The next sentence says, "Thy will be done." Thy will, W-I-L-L, be done in earth as it is in heaven. Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme. Well, there it is. Nothing is higher than God. In fact, there is nothing else that even exists. For God, as the Bible tells us, is all. God's will, not man's will, not your will or my will, or the will of countries that are trying to control other countries and rob them of their natural resources and force them to give up their sovereignty. We are asking God to give us the understanding, enable us to know, as in heaven and so on earth, that God is supreme. God is omnipotent. Not man, not personality, not a country, not a military, but God. God's will is what's going to be done. It's already done. We just have to recognize that it is the only power. It says here, God is omnipotent. One, only, and all is what omni means. The only power. And then we're asking for something very special. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections. What is our daily bread? It is spiritual understanding. It says, feed the famished affections. We have to have an insatiable desire for a constantly, continuously improving spiritual understanding. Because our goal is to know God better today than we did yesterday. Better this minute than we did the last minute. And we can only do that if we realize that a material sense of life, truth, and intelligence in matter is a futile pursuit. Because there can never be harmony or satisfaction coming from a substance made of matter. There's no purity in it. Whereas spirit is flawless. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And love is reflected in love. Well, there's the golden rule. There's the golden rule. forgive us our debts. What is our debt? That is if we let an ill thought enter our consciousness about anyone else. We should not have to be concerned about forgiving because we should not be condemning. We only have to forgive if we've condemned. And we should never be in debt. Mary Baker Eddy says we should square our accounts every day. And it may make more sense if we make sure we don't create an out-of-balance relationship to begin with. If we think of our brethren on an equal basis as ourselves, then we will never be indebted to them. We will only be interested in giving, not in taking, not in creating debt, but only giving out goodwill. Prove to yourself that you enjoy giving. Once you start it, it will be contagious. It'll be a contagion that is a good contagion. It's a contagion of giving goodness, giving love, looking for a need that anyone else has and helping to fulfill it. Think about the golden rule. If we had a need, wouldn't that be a beautiful thing if someone else saw the need and made a special effort to give us a hand up? If we have been accepting the spiritual understanding that God has available for us every single moment, that is going to feed our famished affections. And if we're looking for ways we can give to others, we will never be in debt. And we will never be condemning. So that we box ourselves into a situation where we have to clean out the less than wholesome thoughts about others. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death. Three different forms that are indicated here that evil presents itself. Sin is being proactive in acting against God, the all-powerful entity termed God. We will always get in trouble when we do that. disease is really a sin. Because that's accepting something into our thought that is less than godlike. Death certainly isn't any better than disease. Disease is anything that is a dis-ease, a discord. We want the cords of truth, the cords of divine love. The cords of life. C-H-O-R-D, the music of life. God doesn't lead us into temptation. It says right here, and God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from. Believing in sin, disease, and death. God cannot do anything he knows nothing about. God, which is totally pure, flawless, could not be a teacher of something that is flawed, which is sin, disease, and death. And now, Christ Jesus puts the seal on the prayer. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. For how long? Forever. For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Infinite. God is infinite. There's no place where God is not. And there's no opposing power, because God is all power. There cannot be any death, because God is life. There can't be any mistake, because God is truth. There can't be any hate, because God is love. Love is wholeness. It means that every quality of God has been nurtured so that we are reflecting it individually. And we see the reflection in everyone else. The Lord's Prayer is a clear statement that we must mind our own business. We must give, not take. We cannot take and be expressing love. We can't take expressing life. Mary Baker Eddy defines love as life. She says love is life. Love is living. If we're not loving, we're not living. The first quote at the beginning of the textbook says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We're not free if we're taking. We're free if we understand that God and God's will is the only will that should be recognized. Every time we see something good that has occurred. It would be wonderful to recognize that that was a result and an example of and a manifestation of God in action. It certainly couldn't be from a sinning mortal man. And that's the progeny of everyone, if they are thinking about a material sense of life, truth, and intelligence. We must say, no, that is not me. That is not my heritage. That is not the heritage of anyone that is an idea of God. And the only individual that exists is an ideal of God. A false sense of a son or daughter of God is not reality. It is a false sense. It is a lie about God. God couldn't create a false sense. God doesn't support a false sense. God knows nothing about a false sense. God is truth. God is not a mistake. We must do this if we are going to support what is stated in the Lord's Prayer. We must not support America being in a war unless we are attacked on our shore. And we must make sure that we did not bait the hook. Did we attack someone else? And they're retaliating? If so, we don't deserve to have our own country because we're trying to take someone else's country away from them. America defended its country soon after it was formed as a free country away from the suppression and oppression of its founding fathers in Europe. Yes, that was a time to fight for our country. We went to a land that was free, and we tried to establish it as our home. God will only help us if we are doing the right thing. Never ask God to help to perform evil. It will be a futile request. We must not support anything the government of the United States does that infringes upon the sovereignty of any other citizenship or country borders in any way. Their culture is their business. Their country is their country. Their resources are their resources. America has been trying to steal Russia because it is the largest land mass on planet Earth. And it has the most natural resources. on planet Earth. So the corrupt government of America has thought, hey, let's steal it. Then we will be the biggest country with the most natural resources. That is trying to build on nothing. And that's exactly what we can build on nothing. Nothing. We must not support any effort to be in a foreign war or stealing anything from anyone. We must take whatever steps are practical to stop others in our government from doing such things. We must make sure they are never reelected. They must be impeached, deprived of their electoral office they were given, thinking that we were electing someone with honor and integrity. We must clean up our act, because we cannot have a protection from God. If we are operating in a corrupt manner, sovereignty is effective when we are living the golden rule. I'm grateful for everything I have learned from all Bible characters, the Old Testament, the New Testament, from Mary Baker Eddy. She sacrificed her entire life searching for, discovering, founding, and leading earnest seekers for truth. I'm grateful for every advanced student in Christian Science that has written books and provided audio recordings to give us a hand up. I'm grateful for the example of Christ Jesus and Paul, Mary Baker Eddy, and the other Christian Scientists mentioned. Anyone that is supporting the truth, I'm grateful for. No one can change the truth. It can't be interfered with in any way. God is love. Dear Father, Mother, God, thank you. Amen.